It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kimmunson.com as well. I'd recommend that you sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. Thrilled to have in studio with me my friend Alan Thomas, who has a new op-ed that is out there. It's When Elections Become Follow the Leader. Alan Thomas, it's great to have you in the studio today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
So we'll talk a bit about that in the third and fourth segment. There's a lot to talk about, Alan Thomas.
It really is.
It is very interesting. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed on Friday, and it's going to make things super interesting between now and Election Day.
It definitely is. There's never a dull moment with President Trump, is there?
There is not. And producer Steve, not only is President Trump not boring, but the issues and as we were talking on my way into the studio, it's just astonishing that she passed on, 40, 50 days before the election.
I think it's 44. I heard it mentioned earlier this morning. It's 44 or 46 days. I need to mark a calendar here so we can see plainly what's going down. But, yeah, it wasn't going to be bizarre enough. And then the timing is just, it's just incredible.
It is just astonishing. It makes you wonder who's in charge there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a sense of humor too, doesn't he? So we'll be talking with Larry Bragg in just a little bit as well. He is a candidate for Colorado House District 9. These elections are so important, and so we'll find out what Larry Bragg is finding out on the campaign trail, what is important to them. And his focus is really community safety, and I have a feeling that's something that's on people's minds. I was up in Grand Lake, as many of you know, on Friday morning. Well, Thursday I presented, and on Friday morning I broadcast from Grand Lake. And what they are doing up there is just so amazing. Grand Lake has the premier U.S. Constitution Week in all of America. And next year will be their 10th anniversary. I would recommend that you all start making plans to attend, because what these folks in this little gym that is in the Colorado Rockies, what they're doing is absolutely amazing. And I know, Alan Thomas, you have a deep appreciation. You've studied the Constitution. And in fact, we'll be talking a lot about that within your op-ed as well.
Yes, ma'am. And yeah, anytime you can celebrate such timeless principles and wonderfully thought out ideas is certainly a great thing to celebrate.
And for sure. And then tomorrow we're going to have Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas on, the creators of I'm a Trumpster. They've had that big, beautiful 42-foot bus out going into the community, and we'll find out what's happening with them as well. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. I also had the great honor of being the keynote speaker on Saturday night for the Sunrise Republican Women's Group down in Colorado Springs. And they were expecting about 70 people for their dinner, and they had over 130. And it was really a fun event. I talked about the Battle of Ideas, and so it was really a great time to be with them the other night. But Battle of Ideas, Alan Thomas, it's freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it.
And I think we're getting a wonderful display of that now with all these cities and everything that's going on. I think there's really becoming some momentum behind what we're talking about, this force versus freedom. And it's good to see that and show people that.
It is.
Do you think the governor knows this, what you just said?
Mr. Executive Order?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure, but we need to keep reminding that, producer
if
Steve.
If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. That's novel.
Isn't that? Yeah, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. Now, another thing that we rolled out on in the newsletter yesterday is Rick Turnquist, and you know him also. He is a blogger. He's an author. He's going to be on the show on Friday. We are collaborating on a voter's guide. We're going through all of the 11 either propositions or amendments that will be on the ballot this election season and making recommendations and giving you our thought process on that. That will be on our website a little bit later this week. But we're doing an event next Monday night at Water's Edge Winery. It's $20 plus a $3 processing fee for the ticket. You purchase whatever you want to eat or drink. And I'm sure that Jen and Chef D are going to have something great there. But we will be presenting our voter's guide. That is next Monday. And we only have a certain amount of tickets. So I would recommend that you go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com, to sign up for that. Always like to say thank you to this amazing team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And always want to say thank you to you listeners as well. You're treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Be the very, very best version of yourself that you are, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And as I look at quotes, I'm not quite sure how I ended up with Victor Hugo, but he was born in 1802. He died in 1885. He was a poet, a novelist, and a dramatist who was the most important of the French Romantic writers. Though regarded in France as one of that country's greatest poets, he is better known abroad for such novels as Notre Dame to Paris in 1831 and Les Miserables, which is my all-time favorite musical, in 1862. And I guess this was probably, I was looking for something to compliment your op-ed, Alan Thomas. He said, change your opinions, keep your principles. Change your leaves, keep intact your roots. So I love that. Your thoughts, Alan?
It's a pretty timeless quote there.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, sometimes these old guys that get kind of dissed a lot are actually said a lot. So let's jump over here to Larry Bragg. Larry is put his hat in the ring. He is a candidate for Colorado House District 9. His career was as a firefighter. So community safety, keeping people safe, helping people is something that is just on his heart. Larry Bragg, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. How are you doing?
I am doing well this Monday morning. Great. So what are you hearing out there, Larry, on the campaign trail? I know you're working hard.
Yeah, really working hard, getting out, walking the streets and knocking on doors and talking to the people in the neighborhood. With your topic, forcing people to change, Denver City Council, this is the big news in Southeast Denver and all Denver neighborhoods. They're forcing a group living zoning change on the neighborhoods to increase the number of unrelated adults living under one roof. They've coincided it timing-wise to close two of the higher-performing halfway houses on the north side of town, and include in the zoning language corrections, Department of Corrections, Health and Human Services, mental health, homeless housing, halfway houses. So they want to increase the number of unrelated adults living under one roof to 10 with their spouses, unlimited children. And in the fine print is corrections. So that's got our neighborhood kind of up and in arms. They're not being up front with us and honest, and trying to force something into the neighborhood. So that's the big topic right now.
So how's this coming down? I actually was at a backyard party about 3 weeks ago when I first heard about this, and then Patty had found a piece, a headline on that. And so I've really been trying to mull this around in my mind, Larry Bragg. So initially I'm kind of like, oh, property rights. People should be able to do with their property, as long as it doesn't infringe on others. But yet, on the other hand, I've talked to Randall O'Toole, who is with the Cato Institute, and he is an expert on urban land use, transportation, and he has made the case that single-family home zoning, so single-family housing zoning, is actually a property right. And so as I've thought about this, people bought their property, as you mentioned, with a certain zoning. And mm-hmm. coming in and changing the rules, that will affect their property values. It changes the fabric of the neighborhood that instead of a family or a couple across the street or a family with three kids, you now have a house that is filled with up to 10 people that are just getting out of the correctional program. That changes the fabric of the neighborhood, which I think it actually affects people's property rights, Larry Bragg. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, sure. You're right. And there's, you know, the kicker is the committee that was put together to start this program 2 years ago, half of them that sit on the committee have a vested interest in homeless housing, halfway houses, health and human services. They, you know, a developer can come in that has associated ties with the committee and develop a home right next to yours and put whatever he wants in there. And if someone were to decide to rent, you know, it won't be renting to a family that needs the housing. It'll be, you know, filling the house up to the maximum and getting the most money out of the house there. So there goes the affordability for, you know, how it's being framed as affordability. And then they tried to, you know, paint it as a racial issue, and that's just not washing. So, it's an end-around run by Denver City Council to, you know, weaken a stable part of our society. And, you know, it's a normal step up the ladder for most people that, you know, they want to have a home and a family in a nice suburban area. That's what I think. And, you know, they want to spoil that. They want to bring it down.
Well, and, you know, I need to do a little bit more research on this, Larry, but it seems that there's some zoning that would not be affected by this, but one of the neighborhoods that they said would fall under this is Montbello. And, you know, once again, you know, you have politicians that are now coming in and changing the fabric of that neighborhood. And again, picking winners and losers. You know, people have worked, as you mentioned, to get into their homes, and they're going to pick, you know, different neighborhoods that this is going to happen to. And so I my understanding that this was going to be before the city council sometime this week. Is that, do you know the time frame on that, Larry?
October 12th. And you're right. And it's not Montbello, it's Green Valley Ranch, but the people in Montbello are spitting mad because this has been going on for decades and they haven't had any help at all. And now it's going to be made into a law where they won't have any recourse at all. But there are areas in the city, almost 20% of the city, that won't be affected by this. It'll be, you know, it won't be affected by the zoning change. So it's completely...
Oh, boy, this winners and losers thing.
Yeah.
We've got we're up against a break. However, I want to get Alan Thomas's thought on this as well. Quick, like, Alan, do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, it's rule of law, right? And changing it just for elections and politics is sad, and it creates uncertainty in people's minds, and that's not what we need. Yeah. To have a good society.
And picking winners and losers, Larry Bragg. So I bet you really are hearing that out on the campaign trail. That is why we need to have people that appreciate communities, appreciate community safety, and that are fighting for those people in our communities. So Larry Bragg, I know that's something that's that you're going to do when you get down to the State House.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Now, I am recommending that people adopt a candidate. Certainly, we need to work to elect President Trump. But right here in our local neighborhoods, adopt a candidate. Larry Bragg, people, I know you could use help with walkers, with donations, you know, making phone calls, those kinds of things. And I assume you're very adoptable. So if people want to adopt you, how can they get more information?
I am extremely adoptable, and my website is braggforsafety.com. It's real simple. Go on there, and you can contact me through my website. I'll be glad to have any kind of help walking, donating. That'd be fine. So thank you very much, Kim.
Okay, we will talk to you in a few weeks. Larry Bragg, keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And before we go to break, I want to give a shout out to a great partner of mine, and that is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 Colorado locations, and now that we have sports on television, Hooters Restaurants is the place to go. These beautiful Colorado evenings, you know, it's great to sit out on the patio and have some of their great specials. They have game day specials Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to close all day Saturday and Sunday. They have to-go specials as well. And then if you want to have friends over, they've got a party pack, which is to-go only. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. When we come back...
Before you go to break, can I just say something? I mean, this is of a humorous nature.
Sure.
I get up early, so I go to bed early, but I was channel surfing, and I came across Sunday Night Football on NBC.
Uh-huh.
Incredibly ridiculous. They're pumping in crowd noise, and yet every time the cameras go wide, there's not a soul in the stadium. I was like, what is this blind insistence on pumping sound? So when you said we have sports, I'm like, oh yeah, we do.
Well, you know, they have to pump in the noise because people are watching the game at Hooters. That's what it is.
Okay.
There you go. So hey, we're gonna go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about the whole Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing here with Alan Thomas. He is an author. I always like to say millennial just because, you know, I think millennials get a bad rap sometimes. So I like to let them people know how thoughtful you are about all these things. And then we'll talk about your op-ed in segments 3 and 4. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Podcasts and the recaps of the show can be found there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter and go over to Facebook and give us a like. Also on the website, you can sign up for our event next Monday night at Water's Edge Winery, where Rick Turnquist and I will present our voter's guide. We are working diligently on that and putting the finishing touches on it. It is taking a lot of time to do this, but and you may disagree with our recommendation, and that is fine. We are giving you our honest, thorough opinion on that, and hopefully it will be a good tool for you as you fill out your ballot this election season. In studio with me is author and millennial Alan Thomas. Great to have you here. We'll be talking about your op-ed, When Elections Become Follow the Leader, here in the third and fourth segment. But astonishingly, and Steve, you can jump in here with us as well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed on Friday afternoon. When I saw the news, Alan, it stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, could this election get any crazier? What did you think?
Well, first of all, I mean, the way she fought and battled cancer was amazing, and the way that she kept showing up and doing her job was certainly an inspiration for many people. So it was kind of shocking to see that, you know, with how public she's been about fighting that. But it was kind of like, wow, are we really going to do this 45 days before the election? And certainly McConnell and Trump both have kind of shown what they're going to do in the next 45 days. So it's good that we have at least have clarity for that before the election.
Yeah, it's going to get wild. Producer Steve, what went through your mind when you saw the headline come through?
Well, it was like, 2 weeks ago when the announcements were made regarding Trump and the Nobel Peace Prize, I was like, oh my gosh, the left, their heads are going to be spinning. And that was my first response to Friday's announcement as well. Like, oh, this is going to put them into orbit.
Well, somebody sent me a link to a young woman, and just a quick video, and I'm like, can this be true? She was absolutely off the rails. The fact that, and clearly, probably a Bernie supporter, but I was just shocked. But what is interesting is the radical activist left have been playing for the courts since the late 80s, early 90s. I don't think that conservatives had actually really realized that there had been such a play for the courts, and that was the game plan, that if in fact they did not have Congress, the Senate or the House, or they didn't have the presidency, they always had the courts. And so you've seen that the courts, many decisions like Roe v. Wade has been made in the courts. So in essence, the courts started to make law instead of actually doing what they were supposed to do from a constitutional standpoint. So from a strategic standpoint, ideally, Ruth Bader Ginsburg should have stepped down during the Obama administration, which would have given Obama a pick that he could have come in and appointed somebody in their 40s or their 50s and given the Supreme Court, conceivably, for the next 40 or 50 years.
A missed opportunity.
It was a missed opportunity, but I think, Producer Steve, that it is because they never dreamed that they would not win the presidency again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And as we were bantering about earlier, this particular era of the Democrat and Democratic left, whenever you want to start the clock, they were marching right along in the election of Barack Obama, and the re-election of Barack Obama kind of goes to what you just said. And they thought Hillary was the next one up, and Trump plainly interrupted that. And why? Well, the middle class said we had enough.
Right. And so, Alan Thomas, here President Trump has gotten two Supreme Court picks. And it is going to, I think, there's been threats that from the radical activist left that they are going to do everything to try to disrupt this particular Supreme Court appointment. I think he needs to do it. I don't know for sure what's going to happen in November, but I really think he needs to do it. I know it's going to get rough. I think Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski has come out and said that they would not support that. They're Republican senators. But, I think they need to go forward, and I know it's going to be wild. What do you think?
I personally agree with you. I mean, looking back at 2016, one of the things that Trump rallied the base to him was coming out with Supreme Court picks. We knew this was a big issue. It really rallied a lot of diehard conservatives to his cause, knowing that he was going to get several Supreme Court justice picks. So to pass up this opportunity is really passing up one of the campaign promises he made in 2016. And, I'd rather have my Constitution defended than have the presidency. And this pick will go a long way towards doing that. So I hope he doesn't make a political pick. I hope he does it because it's his job as president and to defend us and our Constitution. So,
well, I think it will appear political, but I think to your point, it's been interesting to see President Trump evolve. I think he's actually almost more conservative than Ronald Reagan. What he has done to stand for, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Of life. Yeah, it's been astonishing. And so I think that it will be made very political, but I think he's actually looking well beyond that. I think that he is looking for people that will defend the Constitution. Now, my understanding is that they have also asked Joe Biden to come out with who his picks might be, and he has not done that yet because the American people might not like that, Producer Steve.
Picks for what? I mean, his response is, well, picks for what? But what are we talking about here?
It's the Harris administration, right?
Yeah.
It is the, yeah. So we
well,
should
yes,
ask,
that's
yeah.
right. It's the Harris administration.
Let's ask Kamala Harris who she would put on that. Maybe that's what we need to do.
Two interesting things, though, in Trump's typical Trump style, he had a rally Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an unofficial poll to the crowd regarding a man or a woman for this open seat. And the crowd plainly went nuts when he said, you know, how about a woman? And they went, you know, there was hardly no response at all to a man. So he was out there beating the bushes early. And the other thing that on not such a good note was he, it'll be, 72 hours later today since the news of Bader's passing. The left, whoever their spokesman was, came out and plainly said, you fill that seat before the election and we're going to burn the nation down. Now, that's a threat.
Yeah, it's like trying to extort the American people. And it's astonishing. The other thing is that, Alan, I don't know if you saw this, but President Trump, I think, was getting on Air Force One, and he came over to the press, and they said, you know, and it could have been a gotcha moment. It wasn't. They told him that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had just passed on. I thought, what a class act, the way he responded to that.
Oh, it completely was. And whether that was the first time he heard it or not, his response was great. I mean, and a lot of people talk about how he doesn't act presidential where, well, he sure did there.
He did. And so I was searching for that, and I found the CNN clip on that. And they did actually have, you know, most of what he said. But man, what they had on the other side on all the opinions, it was like, honest to Pete, can't you just report the news on that? Or if you're going to be an opinion person, let us know that. But don't say you're a news person and then do opinions. So let's ask Jason McBride what he thinks about all this. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. You didn't think it could get any wilder, but it's going to.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And I saw some of the reactions to that over the weekend, and you know, Ocasio-Cortez on TV, her eyes are about to bug out of her head, and she's pointing to a picture where Ginsburg said, oh, the last thing I'd want is to be replaced while under this president. Well, I think that tells you a lot about her attitude, and that she should have recused herself from just about every case that came up while Trump was president.
You know, that's a good point, because when she said that, you know, justice is supposed to be impartial. I hadn't, you know, you're good, Jason. I hadn't really thought about that. Justice is supposed to be impartial. And, you know, Lady Justice is blind, the statue, or not blindfolded, excuse me, not blind. and so when you have a Supreme Court justice out there saying something political like that, I hadn't really connected that. Boy, it's a Monday morning. You're doing a heck of a job, Jason McBride.
Well, yeah, she said others. You know, I mean, when Trump was running for I can't remember exactly, but she said that, you know, that she thought he was a joke, that she
That's
couldn't
right.
imagine
I forgot serving
about
that.
Under. I mean, I'm not getting it exactly right, but it was certainly, you know, enough being said that she should definitely not have been serving as a justice under any cases, especially having to do with Trump's administration. So, yeah. You know, sorry to be mean and disrespectful to the deceased, but I'm just calling it the way it is.
Well, I don't think that's disrespectful. I think it's just bringing forth something that I'd kind of forgotten about, because justice is supposed to be impartial, and make comments like that certainly shows that there's some politicization on that. What's the market futures doing? Is there any response in the market futures to possibly this news?
Well, the futures are nasty this morning, Kim, and I don't know if it's specifically to this news, although there has been some talk that you know, that this will distract from the possibility of another coronavirus stimulus, so that could be part of it. But yeah, the market's in rough shape this morning. The futures are down over 600 points on the Dow right now. If we open there, that's going to break the Dow below its 50-day moving average. Boy, the NASDAQ cut under that support level even more on Friday on a big volume increase. Same thing with the S&P 500. So, yeah, the market's looking a little bit rickety right now, and this morning's open isn't going to contribute to any recovery in the strength. So it looks pretty rough.
So, Jason McBride, I would like to say we're very prescient on all of this, but, you know, when the market had taken the run-up, you and I had mentioned about, you know, sitting down, doing a portfolio checkup, you know, checking your risk tolerance, And because we know there's going to be volatility. And so I would highly recommend that people do that. Just do a portfolio checkup. You know, check what you think about on your wrist when you hear that the futures are down 600 points. What does that do to your tummy? And so I would recommend that people reach out to you and your colleagues at Presidential to get that done sooner versus later.
Well, and that's true, Kim. And I would always say don't get in the habit of going, oh, darn, I wish I would have just done that a few days earlier, because we get into this mental thing that somehow we should have known. We should have known right exactly where the high was in the market. It's about 10% off the high right now in the S&P, and our brains go, well, I don't want to make a change now because it's down a little bit, and I should have made the change right exactly at the high. Well, only the liars do that.
Right, and you know, that sweet spot middle, you know, is where you really, if you stay, you know, near that, you know, not at the top 10%, but someplace around there, if you're making your decisions there, it sets you up for success. So Jason McBride, I'd highly recommend reach out, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Or one other thing, and I think it's on my website now, but it is on for sure on our landing page together, that is airpresidential.com. You went through and did an analysis on different you know, individuals or families on the Trump tax cuts that shows that everyday hardworking people really have more money in their pocket with the Trump tax cuts, and that's important to understand during this election season.
Yeah, information is power, and being armed with facts is more helpful than being armed with nothing or being armed with, well, maybe that's true and maybe it's not. This is black and white facts, black and white numbers. Download a copy and understand how it works, and also be armed with knowledge.
Well, for sure. And knowledge is power. I'm just checking really quickly because I thought we had it here. I want to make sure and see if it's on our site. I think that it will be here probably in today. But go to airpresidential.com, and that is where you can find that. Jason McBride, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Have a good one, Kim.
Thanks so much. And Alan Thomas, when we come back, we're going to talk about your piece, When Elections Become Follow the Leader, as well as just, you know, how that relates to what's happening right now here in America. So this is Kim Munson. Alan Thomas is in studio. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. Okay, Alan Thomas in studio. You have done an excellent op-ed. It's on my website, kimmunson.com, and it's When Politics Become Follow the Leader, and I'd highly recommend people check that out, share it. Does it not crack you up at just the different visuals that Zach puts with these? I just love it.
He fits the personality of the article very well.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
He spends a lot of time thinking about those things. So tell me, when elections become follow the leader, what's your thought process on this, Alan Thomas?
So the kind of title kind of reflects a game many of us probably played in elementary school or middle school, where you get to follow the leader, right? Mm-hmm. You get to walk around and the outgoing kid is doing these crazy dance moves and antics, and we all get to sit around and follow them around. And that becomes an issue if we as adults start doing that in our political lives. If we start relying on the president to be a leader and do all of our thinking for us and do all of our actions for us, especially with regards to this, you know, the president has a duty and a job to fulfill. And we need to be electing people to do those jobs, not electing people to run our lives, not electing people because of personalities or because of character traits that we perceive in them. We need to be electing people who are going to do their jobs and do their jobs well. And for the president, that is very little leading, actually, constitutionally, apart from the military, but that's a very authoritative part of our government. And actually, he's there really to protect us and protect our natural rights and protect our Constitution. And we need to be electing people that are doing that to be a representative, not electing them to be some moral guide to our lives.
And do you think, when you mentioned that people, you know, we've seen PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that want to run our lives. Can you say COVID-19 Wuhan virus? And you've seen how they've stepped in and wanted to run our lives. Do you think that people want these PBIs to run their own individual life? Or do you think that they want them to run other people's lives? What do you think?
It's always interesting. I think it is part of the, I want them to run your life because I think they could run it better. But then they never realize that they're trying to run their lives, right?
Uh-huh.
It's, I want you to run my neighbor's life, but then not realizing, hey, everything you do actually impacts me and how I live my life, right? It's that cognitive dissonance that kind of goes on of, well, if they have the power to control your neighbor's lives and to shift them and make policy to nudge them towards life choices that they want, they have that same power over you. And it's making people aware of that, that, hey, just because one politician, bureaucrat, interested party is doing things that you like, case in point, President Obama and Obamacare and all of this, hey, when the power shifts, as it inevitably does, now you don't want that power to be held by President Trump. So it's making them aware, hey, we're on the same page as you. We don't want that power to reside with President Trump. We don't want it to reside with the government at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making them aware of, hey, power isn't a good thing. Force isn't a good thing. If you think you can run your life well, so do we. Let's give that power back to us.
Do you think people say, in some ways, they say, I want to run my own life, but I don't want to be responsible for the choices that I make if they're bad choices. And then I'd like somebody, government, to come and kind of bail that out. What do you think about that?
Well, that's where progressives have done a great job molding language, right? They believe in this thought of a leader, of somebody that should guide you and direct you. They've been advocating that a president should have this power to be our leader, and it should be somebody that we look up to and kind of abdicate this responsibility of running our lives to. So I think progressives have just done a good job of turning the ship in the boat of public opinion towards their ideas by manipulating these words. I mean, the founding fathers never viewed leader as a good term. If you read the Federalist Papers, they always used leader as a derogatory term. They thought a leader was a slick talking politician, a demagogue that's there to basically manipulate people's emotions and to control mobs. So they never viewed leadership in a good light when it came to politics. They always said, no, we don't need leaders. We need elected representatives who are going to, again, mm-hmm. do their mm-hmm. job. But we don't need these leaders to manipulate people's emotions, to tell them how to live their lives. We want self-assertive, self-reliant, self-restrained citizens who can think for themselves to lead their own lives. And progressives think they know how to do it better, and they've done a great job slowly turning the tide mm-hmm. and making people view leadership in a good light and think it's something that's admirable and something that we need in public policy.
I find that the whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption has, in a way, offered an opportunity for a reset to the Constitution. Because all these things, these nuances in language, this continual kind of grabbing of power, this changing of language to the Constitution says that the people that are elected to office are to be elected representatives. But you've heard the word elected officials, elected leaders. And we now have this opportunity to do a reset and realize they are elected representatives. Like when Larry Bragg was just talking about what's happening in at Denver City Council with them changing the rules, picking winners and losers. That's not what an elected representative is supposed to do. They're supposed to be there to protect property rights. And property rights is something that is inherent within the American idea. And that Constitution obviously was put in place to protect all those great truths that we see in the Declaration of Independence, Alan Thomas.
Exactly. I mean, think about what we talk about, public servants, right? These people that are doing the public a great service by these regulations. And it really goes back to the foundational idea of the founders believed we were all created equal. Mm-hmm. Basically, that we all start at the starting line the same, whereas these progressives believe that they need to make people equal. That's why we have identity politics is we need to make people equal to each other. So if you start out in as a victim, then we need to pick winners and losers to make sure everybody ends up at the finish line at the same time, and crafting people and controlling their lives so that we can make them equal. That's their end goal, and it's wrong from the very outset of the premise.
And it moves us towards mediocrity, and instead of aspiring to people being able to be the very best that they can be.
I mean, if you think back at World War II, wasn't that what Hitler wanted? He wanted to make people equal. He wanted to make the great supreme race. And we kind of forget that der Führer means the leader, the director. We don't need leaders and directors like Hitler. We need to be students of history and understand what these concepts and ideas can lead to, and what socialism's track record is, and what progressives looks like, and we see examples in Portland and Democrat-run cities of what these policies actually lead to, and we kind of turn a blind eye and pretend like it didn't ever happen or it didn't happen exactly the right way, right?
Right. Let's go to break, Alan Thomas. This is a fascinating conversation. I have all kinds of things. It's like you mentioned something and I have a thought, and I need to be writing this down because by the time you finish speaking, I have three thoughts and I can't remember all of them. So this is Kim Munson in studio. My friend, Alan Thomas, he's written an excellent piece. It is at my website, kimmunson.com. It's When Elections Become Follow the Leader. Before we go to break, though, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are a family-owned business. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're open 7 days a week. I would highly recommend that you take a trip out to Sedalia. I always love to go out to Sedalia. Do you ever get out there, Alan Thomas?
Whenever I do, it's beautiful, and I wish I went more.
I know, exactly. So take a trip out to Sedalia and check out Castlegate Knife and Tool. They have all kinds of knives from the best blade makers throughout the world. If you're a collector, you're in luck. If you're in the military and you want, you know, that, you know, something that you can really depend on, you're in luck. If you're a sportsman, you're in luck. If you need to get a wedding gift, you're in luck. So be sure and check out Castlegate Knife and Tool. Website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, continuing the conversation with Alan Thomas.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you'll get the first look at all of the upcoming guests and our podcasts and also our op-eds, which Alan Thomas is in studio. His new op-ed is there. Zach has done an an excellent graphic with that, When Elections Become Follow the Leader. So I'd recommend that you go to the website and be sure and like it and share it. Alan, let's just talk a little bit about this. You know, when you talk about follow the leader, people, you know, look to the presidency. They say they're the leader of the free world. Yeah, I guess. But actually, the executive branch is there to execute the laws. And so let's talk a little bit about what the founders saw with our government. There's the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judiciary branch. And so let's just give people a little refresher on that.
So, I mean, when you look back on it, obviously the president, one of his, really the only aspect that he's supposed to lead is the military in times of war, right? That's pretty obvious. You can't go through a legislative body during times of war. You need somebody to take decisive action. But apart from that, when you go through, he has about 15 different actions legislated through Congress. Very little of them are leading, right? He's able to veto and sign into law things that Congress is actually able to do. They kind of viewed Congress as the body that would more lead public policy, that would create like I said, legislative policy, mm-hmm. and to deliberate and go through this and really be the will of the people in what they wanted the country to do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the judiciary was there to be the referee and to really look at the Constitution and decide whether things are constitutional or not, to be neutral. Like you said, justice is supposed to be blind and really free from politics. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are lifetime appointments. They were supposed to, it was designed to be free from politics, free of the mob, the will of the people that could shift on a dime.
Mm-hmm. So again, so the presidency is the executive branch, executes the laws. The legislative branch, Congress, Senate, and House of Representatives, they make the laws. And the judiciary, as you mentioned, is supposed to be the referee to make sure that those laws are constitutional. Okay, so what has happened, let's go over to the legislative branch, is they have put in place, okay, politicians, they are putting in place laws that they may not necessarily want to stand behind when they go out for re-election. So then they push the execution of making those laws over to the administrative state, which is the bureaucrats. And the bureaucrats are in there for life. They're unaccountable. They don't have to run for office. And it's created this behemoth.
Behemoth.
You know what? I had a listener that reached out the other day. I am having some, I said suffragette on Thursday morning and said instead of suffragette. Now, how do you say that word again?
Behemoth.
I tell you what, I look at words and I think I know how to. So any really big.
Right.
How's that?
Yeah. And that's kind of the progressive mindset, right?
Yeah.
Is to create this bureaucracy that kind of takes the power away from what the Constitution originally allowed and allows these bureaucrats to control your life and run your life. And that's what they needed to view the president as a leader. I mean, there's what, 2 million federal employees plus. He's basically a CEO, and we should view CEOs as leaders. They're supposed to make decisions to guide the company. But the founders never wanted that for this country. They never wanted these unelected bureaucrats running our lives. But progressives do. And one of the ways to get around the constitutional authorities of these branches was to create this large administrative state that has rules and laws that can change on a whim, that people can, you know, edit and make whatever they think, and depending on where public policy goes or what the next social justice norm is. But that's never what the founding fathers wanted nor intended, and that's part of the problem of why we view the president as a leader, is he is in charge of this massive bureaucracy, and we don't want him to be, and he shouldn't be. But that also means we need a Congress and we need to elect representatives who are willing to take on this massive bureaucracy and say enough is enough. It's not working. The track record is very clear. Adding more laws isn't going to fix all the broken ones. And people can't even keep track of what's legal or not legal anymore.
Okay, so to that point, a couple of things. When Trump came into office, he said, if you're going to come in with a new regulation, you have to get rid of at least two. That is huge. In fact, the Trump tax cuts that Jason McBride has talked about was great, but I think Jason also mentioned this the other morning, that the fact of reducing these rules and regulations has been key. So a couple of things I wanted to mention. First of all, I told you that we're going through and doing this voter's guide. And there is, I think it's an amendment. It was Proposition EE. Excuse me. And this is a proposition on the ballot that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. And it is a cigarette, tobacco, and nicotine tax. And so you see the ballot language. But there is, if you go to the Secretary of State, and we're going to link all of this, Alan Thomas, but there can be background legislation that backs that up. Alan, this is what would back up that question. And it is 50 pages. And just on that alone is why you should vote no on this, because James Madison said the laws should not be so voluminous, hopefully I said that right,
you did,
that the people cannot understand it. So going to one other thing, I would recommend people go to Colorado legislation, and I think that it is Article 25. And that is what is put in place, giving all of this power to these health departments. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go, I want to read that. I want to take a look at that so I understand how these health departments got all that information. You want to take a bet on how long that thing is?
Oh, I don't think I would win.
931 pages. 931 Brief. Pages. And that is why we've gotten out of control. And that is why we need to have not leaders that are going to put in that kind of stuff. I mean, we're talking federal, but also on the state level. We need to have people that are going to be protecting our private property rights. And so I think that the piece that you've done is just really great. So we've got about 4 minutes. So what do you want to make sure that people are takeaway this morning?
Well, more importantly, I heard this the other day from an individual, and it kind of cracked me up. She said, I'm not married to Trump. And at first I kind of look at her and she goes, I don't need him as my God either. And that's very important when we look at these elections. We put these politicians in these high pedestals that they have these roles to fulfill, and we forget what their true responsibility is. We need to be looking not at their personality. We need to look at the duty and the job responsibilities that they're going to have, because I don't need Trump to be married to me. I don't need him. I don't need to hold him to that level. I don't need him to be at the level where my child is going to look at him as a role model. That's my right and responsibility as a parent to do. I don't need him to be my minister. I don't need him to be my God, because I already have that. What I need him to do is protect my right and responsibility to be a parent, to have the ability to make decisions for my child. I need to have him protect my right to worship the way I want to worship. And I need him to protect my right and ability to sit here and have these conversations with you or with anybody else, and to go out on the street and peaceably protest whenever I want to. I need him to protect my rights, my natural rights. And the way he does that is by protecting the Constitution and protecting those insightful and timeless ideas that the Founding Fathers put out there, and protect the document that protects me. So that's why I'm going to vote for Trump in November, because he has shown in 4 years of public office that he is more willing to protect me and my rights than Joe Biden has shown in the decades he's been in public office.
47 years. And so, I think that, and that's a good point. Joe Biden has had 47 years to protect our rights, and we actually have seen what has happened with that. Trump, his policies, the economy was just humming along. Unemployment across the spectrum for blacks and Hispanics and women were at, I think, historical lows. And so I hope that people can remember that, because this COVID-19 Wuhan virus has been politicized. And the fact, Colorado, Patty had pulled a headline that Colorado seems to be coming back, and that is terrific. However, it didn't have to be this way. And a lot of people are hurting significantly. I know businesses that are going out of business or really struggling, and it does not have to be that way. And so, Alan Thomas, we have a minute. What's your final thought?
Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect example of I need a right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And one of those is the ability to go out there and create a job and make use of my mind and my thoughts and ideas and my hands and my labor. And one of those is protecting a right to have a business. And we need to get rid of this bureaucracy and all of these regulations that require so much money to create a business. We need to be able to go out there and just do what we want to do and create value for our other citizens. And President Trump has done a great job of that so far. And I hope we continue down that path towards a more constitutional government.
Well, be sure and vote, and vote Republican this particular election cycle. And then we want to stay in contact with these representatives and keep them accountable. And we have a civic duty to do that. So, Alan Thomas, thank you so much for being in studio with me.
Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, be sure and go to my website and check out that op-ed there. And Victor Hugo today, his quote, he said, "Between the government which does evil and the people who accept it, there is a certain shameful solidarity." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Through the rain and lightning, wandering